Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we stand all across this place and we give Him everything you've got tonight, like the song says? Will you just love on Jesus with everything I am? Lord, I want to worship You. I want to praise You, God, with all I've got. You're worthy on this Sunday night of every bit of praise I can muster, Lord. Every bit I can give and pour out on You. You're worthy of it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah. He truly is so worthy. Every bit of praise we could offer tonight. I'm so thankful for His presence we feel. And in particular, I've been so thankful recently for the atmosphere of faith that I have felt here at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. This morning, our pastor preached on faith. I wanted to share with you before we dive into the Word tonight something that happened just this last week in our youth prayer. We have a monthly youth prayer. There was an atmosphere of faith that was there. We felt like we needed to break through in prayer. We're standing right here in this altar. There were several that walked in that night with pain in their body, one that had been in pain for several weeks. But I'm thankful to tell you, in that atmosphere of faith, and when we worship God and praise God, they walked out of here without pain. That God healed some young people that were praying right here in this altar. We heard reports of other people receiving answers that we had prayed for that night. I'm telling you, we've got a reason to worship God tonight, church. We've got a reason to have faith. Would you express your praise and your faith right now with a worship, with a sound and a cry of worship? Lord, we praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We've got a reason to believe in You and have faith and to activate our faith tonight in the name of Jesus. There's just something about our faith that causes and compels God to move and compels God to work. And of course, when you mix that faith with the Word of God, anything is possible. Everyone say anything. Anything is possible. Faith and His Word. With that in mind, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Start at verse 6, Acts 16 and 6. You'll find this is the account of Paul and Timothy as they made their way through Paul's second missionary journey. Verse 6 says, "Now when they, Paul and Timothy, had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they traveled to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing again by Mysia, they came down to Troas." Verse 9. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him. He said, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. We concluded the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Reading again verse 9, it says, "The man pleaded with Paul, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" And tonight, from this powerful passage and in this atmosphere of faith that we feel, I want to borrow my title from that last phrase. I want to preach to you tonight, "Help us. Help us." Would you pray with me right now in faith that God's going to help us tonight? Lord, we need Your strength. We need Your Word. God, absent from Your Word, our lives are without direction. But tonight we need Your Word to lead us, Lord. Speak into our hearts and let us receive it in the name of Jesus. And let it bear fruit in our lives, we pray, in that precious name, in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands again to Him and thank Him right now? We thank You for what You're going to do tonight. We thank You, Jesus, in Your name, in Your name. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul was accustomed to regular interruptions on a grand scale. Many different occasions that his plans, his journeys, his sermons, his missions were interrupted by the onslaught of storms, prison cells, angry mobs, stones, and invariably by his own Jewish cargo. During the span of his incredible and influential ministry, Paul had too many unfortunate and unwanted interruptions to count. And without a doubt, he learned that interruptions are inconvenient. We don't like interruptions. Interruptions are difficult. They're oftentimes problematic. They're untimely. They're undesirable. No one likes unplanned interruptions. Back several years ago, Mariah and I, my wife and I, saw proof of this undeniable fact. We both discovered one day that we were craving a flavorful treat called a snow cone. It was a warm summer day, kind of like today, and we both, in discussion, were talking, and we both decided, hey, let's go get a snow cone. So we went down to South County Auto Sales, just off Bear Street. There's a snow cone hut there. I remember being in the car, driving on the way there. We were further from my house. We had some time to talk. We were talking about the snow cone hut. She told me it wasn't the best in the area, but it was decent enough, and discussing the different flavors we were going to get. She probably got some tropical fruit, pineapple or something. I just get blue. It doesn't matter what flavor it is. Just give me blue. I'm a creature of habit, Brother Reaver. We get there. Needless to say, we're excited. We pull up just to the right of that hut. We parked the car. We got out, began to walk over to the window of the snow cone stand, expecting to receive a greeting of some kind. But when we arrived at the window, we were perplexed to find no greeting. There was no smile. There was no hello. No, hey, guys, what can I get for you? There was certainly no, hey, you guys look awesome. Let me give you some free snow cones on the house. There was none of that. Instead, we found utter silence at the snow cone hut. Except for the hum of the air conditioning unit on the side of that little stand, there was nothing to be heard. We were obviously confused. So being the man, I began to inspect the situation. I went around and looked, and I found out that the young man who was supposed to be attending that snow cone hut, he had been lured to sleep by both the absence of customers and that cool, refreshing air inside the hut. Not only that, but apparently he was a heavy sleeper, because it caused me and called for several attempts for me to wake him up. I mean, I was there to get a snow cone, church. I tried to be nice. I tried employing several methods. I did the old throat clearing. I mean, it was just obnoxious. Nothing happened. Still asleep. I pulled out my key fob. I clicked the lock button on it twice. My car horn went off. I looked, clicked it again. Look, click it again. This guy would not wake up. So finally, I did the unthinkable. Walked over to that window, readied myself. I stepped back like it wasn't me, like there was someone else. And it worked, I'm telling you, it worked. In one swift motion, this guy stood to his feet like nothing happened. He opened up that window. He put his hand like this and said, hey, guys, what can I get for you? What can I get for you? He played it off like a champ. He made us some snow cones. And we waited till we got back to the car before we burst into laughter. If he didn't know it that day, I'm sure that young man found out interruptions, especially interruptions from deep sleep, they're not always fun. In fact, there are more times than not, they're a nuisance, they're an inconvenience. Now, if I'm doing something I don't like to do, if I'm studying for a test or writing a paper, by all means, interrupt me. But if we're like, if we're doing something that we like to do, if I'm eating a good meal, do not interrupt me. Interruptions are typically ill-timed. They're inconvenient, awkward, bothersome, maybe even embarrassing. And as I mentioned, the Apostle Paul, he knew this all too well. He'd been interrupted in the middle of sermons with angry and determined mobs. He'd been interrupted from his journeys with shipwrecks and thieves. He'd been interrupted in his ministry with enraged Jewish leaders and Roman trials. He was used to being interrupted. He was used to the disturbance and the nuisance. He had experienced the frustration, the difficulty before, which is why the interruption we find in the book of Acts in chapter 16 is so unique. You see, this was not an average or a man-made interjection. Although it may have been inconvenient and unwanted, this interjection was not at the hands of men, but rather at the hands of the Holy Ghost. As we know, Paul was on a mission. He was determined to preach the word in Asia. He was a man led by the Spirit. He felt led to go and to preach and to establish churches. But Acts 16 and 6 says, as they made their way through the province of Galatia, the Holy Ghost interrupted them and forbade them to go to Asia. Instead, they began to go north, but again, the Holy Ghost stopped them. Finally, they pushed west and they landed in a city called Troas on the border of the Aegean Sea. It's probably safe to assume at this point Paul and Timothy are a little confused and bewildered. Maybe like some of us are tonight. They're on a mission for God. They're trying to be faithful, trying to establish churches, doing everything that they know to do. But they're interrupted constantly and consistently. They may have even stopped and asked God repeatedly, "Why, God? Why are you interrupting me on my journey? I'm trying to do a work for you. What are you doing? Why the interruptions?" Of course, they would soon find out. God had a plan all along. You see, after they had arrived in Troas, the Spirit of God interrupted Paul one more time while he was sleeping. The Bible says a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with Paul in the vision. He said, "Come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to the continent of Europe and help us. Please come and help us." And it was in this moment, I believe, that every interruption, every inconvenience, and every interjection suddenly became clear. Paul realized more than ever before, God had been ordering my steps. God is in the middle of this. God is taking care of me. God knows what he's doing. God is still on the throne. He realized the interruptions were not just an inconvenience, but through it all, God was trying to get someone's attention and point them in the right direction. There was someone who needed their help. There was someone who needed the gospel. There was someone who needed salvation, and God used an interruption. He used an interjection. He used an inconvenience to get them there. And church, I've come to tell you tonight that God does have a plan. God knows what he's doing, and oftentimes he will not hesitate to interrupt my plans, interrupt my life, interrupt my routine, because there may just be someone who needs the gospel, someone who needs a word, someone who needs an answer. He will not hesitate to interrupt me, because there's a calling, there's a purpose, there's a mission, and it's got my name on it. God will not hesitate to get our attention, because it may just be there's someone near us that's crying out to help. Someone near us that's got a need. Someone near us that needs Jesus. There's a world all around us that needs the truth and the lie of the gospel. So we should not be surprised when God shows up on a Sunday night in the middle of a service, or God steps into our life and we're into a situation and stops everything. Some of you have some moments like that recently where it seemed like the world just stopped. And you're wondering, man, God can't be in the middle of this. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look like it's God ordained. Can I tell you, God's still in control tonight? Can I tell you, he knows what he's doing? Can I tell you, he knows where you're at? And he may just interrupt our lives to try to get us in position to help someone along the way. If you look through the Word of God, it's incredible that almost every notable calling we find, it was initiated by one of these God-sized interruptions. Just to name a few, Moses was interrupted by God by a burning bush on the backside of a desert. Samuel was interrupted in the middle of his sleep by the voice of God. We thought we had it bad. Imagine God waking you up 3 times in a row. Some of us would not be too happy about that. Both David and Saul were interrupted by Samuel, now a prophet of God. The disciples were interrupted by Jesus while they fished and collected taxes and sat under fig trees. Paul himself was interrupted by a bright light on the road to Damascus. So it is not a coincidence that God may send an unwanted or an unwelcome interjection into my life in order to try to steal my focus or get my attention. It's no accident God may send someone or something my way in order to capture my focus. In fact, there may be some who've had that happen this week. Maybe he sent a trial or a circumstance. Maybe he's allowed you to face a mountain. I'll go through a valley you didn't plan on going through. Maybe God's permitted a storm to overtake you. And it may be inconvenient. It may be unwanted. It may be overwhelming and uncomfortable. But just like Paul and Timothy, I'm telling you tonight, we can rest assured that God is still in control, church. God still knows what he's doing. Oh, can I tell you, he's still on the throne tonight. That he's still sovereign. That he still loves you. Oh, someone needs to hear this and get this in your spirit. You don't know why you're facing this. Can I tell you? God knows what he's doing. He's never failed. He's never been defeated. He's never discouraged us. God has not abandoned you, but he knows what he's doing. And who knows? Maybe there's someone he's trying to get you near to. Maybe there's someone along the way that's been crying out for help, and God is positioning you to be near them. just several months ago, Brother Gleason came to Apostolic Pentecostal Church and spoke to us on a Wednesday night, referenced this very thing when he talked about the Samaritan man. This man was just minding his business on the road to conduct some business. Out of nowhere, there's a man lying in his path. Some of you have found some people just lying in your path this week. You had a conversation with them, and you didn't realize that God was in the middle of that. But out of nowhere, on the same path, here's this man. Brother Gleason noted, it took more of his time. It took more of his money. It took a lasting and ongoing commitment. It was unplanned. It was inconvenient. It may have even been unwanted. But God chose to interrupt his day in order to answer the call. Church, can I tell you, I'm just going to be as real as I can. It may interrupt our routines. It may interrupt our schedules. It'll interrupt our finances, our downtime, our homes, our sleep. It'll even interrupt our current perspective. But I believe, like Paul, God's just trying to get someone's attention tonight. Because there's a family member, maybe there's a coworker, there's a classmate, or there's a world that's crying out. And God is trying to interrupt our lives long enough for us to hear the cry, will you help us? Will you come into my life and help me? Will you share the love of God with me? Will you share the truth of the gospel with me? Oh, hear me tonight, it was not an accident. Paul's journey led him to Troas. If you look at the map, Brother Eric, can you put that up? You look at the historical map, you find Paul and Timothy started hundreds of miles east in the province of Galatia, to the right of your screen there. They started all the way east. They tried to go into Asia, but instead went north. After the Holy Ghost stopped them from entering Bithynia, they continued going west into Mysia, and eventually they landed in Troas. There's the Mediterranean there, the Aegean Sea just above. I love this. I hope we get this. Purposefully, the Spirit led them to a city on the border of the Aegean Sea, which was just across the water from a place called Macedonia, where there happened to be a man who was crying out to God for help. Could it be tonight? God has orchestrated several interruptions in your life in order to position you near someone who has been crying out to you without you knowing it. Could it be your trial or your circumstance? It's not random and it's not purposeless. Could it be that all things do really work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called not according to their convenience, not according to their will or their plan, but they're called according to His purpose? Could it be that God has been trying to get my attention tonight or your attention because there are people all around me who are crying out for help and are hungry for the truth of the Word of God? Acts 16 and 10 says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. We concluded the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to him. Paul and Timothy finally realized, I think God's calling us, Timothy. Something's going on. Kind of makes me feel better. The Apostle Paul took him three times, three interruptions for him to realize, I think God's calling us to go over here, Timothy. Can I ask you a straightforward question tonight? How many times will it take us before we realize God's calling? How many storms, how many sermons, how many trials before we realize God is positioning me and getting me closer to someone to hear the cry for help? I believe even this week God has been interrupting some prayer times. Or maybe even your work routine while you're on the job. Maybe God's just interjected his calling in the middle of your routine, your schedule, your thoughts, maybe even your sleep. And it may have appeared to be a nuisance at first. It may have appeared to be an inconvenience, but could it be God's just trying to get our attention to whatever we're going through? Church, I believe that if we are sensitive enough, it won't take us long to realize this world is crying out for help. This world is desperate. So you know, I volunteered at a local high school. Started there last year and served to the beginning of this year. assisted with the athletic department, even though I'm not athletic at all. Started there, just felt the Lord dealing with me about going up there, and I just walked in the door, and God gave me favor. I started working with the athletic director of the school. So only a couple weeks in, I had a conversation with a man who works in administration at the school. Highly educated man, holds a top-level position in the entire district. Began to talk about the students. He opened up to me. I was standing on the basketball court watching the game, helping out. I was watching the game intently, but our conversation quickly got my attention. He said, you know, some of the issues these students come in my office with on a regular basis. He said, I wouldn't imagine dealing with these 10 years ago. He said, I'm dealing with some things I thought were unthinkable and impossible. Standing right there on that basketball court, he admitted to me. He said, there's sometimes they come in my office and I'm overwhelmed by their situation. I don't have the training or the wisdom or the knowledge sometimes to deal with it. I just have to sit there and pass them off to someone else or just try to be there for them. Just a passing conversation on a gym floor. But the whole time, through all the noise and the dribble, the basketball and the cheers and the shouts of people, all I could hear from this man was a resounding, help us. Help us. They don't have all the answers, church, and I may not have them either. But I know who does tonight. Oh, they may not have the answers, but I can point them in the direction of the one who does. He has it all. He knows it all. He's heard their cry, and he's calling us to reach them. This world's crying out. I know what the loudest voices are saying. I know what the media's saying. But I believe behind it all, there is a deafening cry that God is trying to get the church to hear. Will you help us? Will you come in my home and help me? Will you come in my broken family and help me? Will you come to my school and start a program for me? Will you help us? They may not say it explicitly, church. They may not tell you, I need your help. It may sound something like, you know what, I'm having surgery next week. I'm a little unsure about it. My family's struggling. We're falling apart. We're going through a divorce. I just lost my job. I don't know what to do. My child's struggling in school or struggling with addiction. I've been diagnosed with cancer and illness. Will you pray for me? They may not come to you in a dream. They may not call you to come to Macedonia. They may just call you over for a barbecue, call you to a birthday party or to a kid's basketball game. They may not plead with you for help right there on the spot. But could it be God's trying to get our attention? Because it may just be they've been pleading with him every day in the middle of their desperation. And God's sending me and sending us just to be sensitive and to reach him and to help. The world is crying, help us, church. Sister Kendall Lindsay's not able to be here tonight, but I want to share part of her testimony. Kendall's anointed of God, been used in the Holy Ghost. So thankful for her anointing. This last semester, she felt led to start a P7 Bible Club at her school. For those that don't know, P7 clubs are sponsored by the United Pentecostal Church International. They are apostolic Bible clubs where our students can teach the principles of the Word of God without restriction. They can teach the Word as it's supposed to. Currently, we have over 1,000 P7 clubs within the United States. You can't tell me this world isn't looking for God and doesn't want God. Kendall decides she's going to open a club at her school. Part of the process is they had to get 5 signatures from students saying that they wanted the club, wanted to be a part of it, and that it would help their school. 5 signatures. Within just a couple days, Kendall came to me. She said, Brother Brad, I've already got almost double the amount of signatures that I need to start this Bible club in our school. With just 3 or 4 weeks, she had 9 students that were coming on a regular basis to her club. Think about that. 9 young people who wanted to hear the apostolic word and message in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, can I tell you, this world is crying out for help. Oh, even in our schools, in our workplaces, you may not hear it outright, but this world is crying. Will you help us? Will you reach us? Will you teach me the word? Oh, I wonder, as our musicians come, would you just lift your voice right now and call, respond to the call of God that's going on? Would you lift your voice and be sensitive all across this place? God's trying to get someone's attention tonight. I pray you'd respond. Respond to His call, Jesus. We hear you, Lord. We hear you. I pray you'd help us. Give us opportunities. Let us reach someone, God. Let us find someone, Lord. Send us to someone who's needing you and hungry for you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, can we just push this response a moment further right now? Oh, would you linger a moment in your response? Would you let God get a hold of your heart tonight? Lord, whatever you want me to do, I know I'm called. Your word says we're called. I pray it help me, Jesus, to respond to the call for help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a couple weeks ago on a Friday morning, in my living room, talking to the Lord, felt impressed to pray a simple prayer. So, Lord, would you just send me to someone else? Let me teach a Bible study. Let me help someone along the way. Be a friend. Be a disciple maker. Felt like I was praying an inspired prayer. The Holy Ghost was leading me. I had no clue how quickly God would work. Putting our faith in action, Pastor. 48 hours later, a Sunday morning, Brother Jonathan Brazier introduced me to his nephew, Nick, standing right over here. Nick, would you stand real quick? Wave your hand to everyone. Thank you, Nick. Shook his hand right here in this altar. Told me a little about himself. He's from Wisconsin, just down here visiting family. I could see on his face God was already working on him. Had tears in his eyes. He said, you know, what I'm feeling today, I haven't felt it in so long. He said, it's awesome. He couldn't really contain it. He said, I feel like I've been called here. I know I live in Wisconsin. He said, but I feel like I've been called here to this church. Got his contact information, praying for him. Left the next morning to go to Austria. We landed back the following Monday. Before I got off the plane, I text Nick. Said, hey, man, just checking in. How you doing? Hope you're doing all right. He said, I'm doing great. I just moved to St. Louis. Met up with him later that week on a Thursday. And the following Tuesday, just this last Tuesday, God answered my prayer. We started our first Bible study together. And not only that, but I'm excited to tell you tonight. On Thursday night, I mentioned we had a powerful youth prayer service. Nick told me he hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost in quite some time, hadn't been refilled. He'd received it when he was about 12 or 13, been 7 years ago. And in that atmosphere of prayer, when we begin to pray in faith and worship God, standing right here in this altar, we laid hands on Nick and prayed in the name of Jesus. And God refilled him with His Spirit for the first time in 7 years as he spoke with other tongues. And God filled his life. You can see the joy on his face. Church, I'm telling you, there's someone closer than you think. And they're calling out for help. They're calling out for the gospel. They're calling out for an apostolic to step in their life and say, hey, let me show you a better way. Let me lead you to someone who's got all the answers. Let me lead you to Jesus who died for you. Oh, would you stand right now? I feel God's presence in His Spirit in this room. I wonder if we just respond right now. Would you lift your voice all across this place as God deals with you? In your heart, would you tell Him, Lord, here I am tonight. I want to reach someone, God. I want to be a vessel, God. Would you use me? Oh, and right now, I'm just going to open the front of this altar. I wonder if everyone that would you just begin to step out of where you are and come and respond to the call of God that's going out tonight? Would you find a place to pray right now? Everyone that is able and willing, would you come right now? God may just lay a name on your heart. God may just help you. He may lead you to someone. Maybe just 2 days from now, you can pray someone through the Holy Ghost or teach them a Bible study. Oh, who knows, church, where God will lead you this week. Oh, let's lift our voice together. Jesus, hallelujah. Lead us, God, lead us. Lead us to someone that's hungry. Lead us to someone that's praying. Lead us to someone that needs you, God. Alabashela, my Amen.